1 John chapter 5. There'll be a lot going on this afternoon. I hope you'll get involved in everything that you can. This afternoon at 2:15, the obstacle course will be open for 45 minutes. You do not have to get there right at 2:15. You can get there afterwards, just anywhere in that 45-minute period, and run through that. We'll find out tonight who had the fastest times. At 3 o'clock, we will have the video scavenger hunt. Now, for that, you're like, I don't have a phone. I don't have a way to do that. You're going to need to draft a church counselor and grab them. And this would be a great time to offer to get them seconds at lunch today. Do something really nice for them so that they'll be willing to run around with you for about 15 or 20 minutes during the scavenger hunt. And then just come on down. And if you'll check the board, I think it'll tell you where you're supposed to meet. I think that might be the volleyball court. And that'll be at 3 o'clock today. And you can come in teams, groups of like 3 to 5 people and participate in that. And then at 4 o'clock today is the soda game. Now, how many of you have ever played Capture the Flag? Okay, a lot of you have played that. Soda game is like a kind of a version of Capture the Flag, but instead of capturing flags, you are capturing sodas. And instead of being tagged by a contact, you are tagged by a water balloon. And so it really is a lot of fun, and you can meet at the Rodeo Corral at 4 o'clock today and find out more rules about that and participate in the soda game today. So that'll be a lot of fun things happening this afternoon. You got 1 John 5? If you do, would you stand with me, please? And I'm going to read 3 verses. And we'll see what God has to say for us this morning. Notice at the very end of verse 10, that the last phrase mentions a record that God gave of his son. And now verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his son. He that hath the son hath life, and he that hath not the son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the son of God. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So I would just say that everybody is afraid of something. I don't know what you're afraid of. You don't know what I'm afraid of. You're not going to know what I'm afraid of because I'm smarter than that. I tell you what I'm afraid of, and then all of a sudden there's one of those in my bed somehow, mysteriously. You know, a camp this week or whatever the case might be, or you're just waiting around a corner somewhere with something that I might be afraid of. Well, I would hope that you wouldn't actually do that. But the truth is that all of us are afraid of something. And while sometimes we laugh at what other people are afraid of because we can't identify, there is one fear that I think all of us can identify with at the root of it, at least, and that is the fear of not knowing something. Sometimes it's just the matter of, I don't know how I'm going to be received. I don't know if people will like me. I don't know who's going to be in my cabin at camp. I don't know who's going to be my friend there. I don't know who's going to like me, who's not going to like me. I don't know these things. Sometimes you have two people, they walk into a room, they've never met. They're both afraid of what the other person is thinking of them. And so one says, man, I wonder what they think of me. And the other one is thinking, man, I wonder what they're thinking of me. And nobody's thinking anything of anybody because we're all afraid about what everybody's thinking about us. Now, we can kind of make fun of it a little bit, but the truth is that we all experience things like that where we don't know about something and therefore we have some anxiety. We have some fear. If you understand that at all, then you understand what these people were going through when John wrote to them. John wrote to them and he said, these things, verse 13, have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. The deal is that they knew a lot about the Bible. They knew a lot about Jesus. They knew a lot about what salvation meant, and yet they did not know for sure that they were on their way to heaven. How can that happen? Well, there's a lot of different reasons for it. But even more important than the reasons for it, I want to show you this morning that God has a solution for it. And God's solution for when we fear what is going to happen to us after we die? Am I really saved? Am I not really saved? I'm just not certain. God's solution for that is wrapped up in this statement, essentially. Get your eyes back on what makes you saved in the first place. There's all sorts of things we look at in life. How do I feel? What am I doing? Who am I around? What do other people think? But the most important thing is not what other people think or even what we think, it's what God knows. And God has declared that in His Word. And God says to these people that needed to know that they had eternal life, He said that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Can I just tell you right from the start that the key issue and whether or not you have been saved is whether or not you have trusted Jesus to be your Savior. If you have trusted Him to be your Savior, you have eternal life. And if you have not trusted Him to be your Savior, you have no reason to have confidence in eternal life because Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Jesus said to the woman at the well that we heard about earlier that He was that water of life. And Jesus made statements like that that are recorded actually by this same author, John, throughout the Gospel of John. He was the water of life. He was the bread of life. He was the door to God. He was the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the only way to heaven, and the only way you can have Him is to receive Him by faith, what He has done for you. Now, let me just mention a couple things from this passage that I believe will be a help just to keep us on track. These are things that this passage says about salvation that help us to see the truth. Number one is this, never forget, salvation is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Look at verse 12. And this is the record, verse 11 says, verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. Now look right this way. If you have eternal life, the only reason you have it is because God has given it to you. You did not earn it. You did not deserve it. You did not inherit it. You did not accidentally have it. You did not have it when you were born. You did not have it from your church. The only way you have eternal life is that it is given to you as a gift by Jesus Christ. That is what God's record says. So here's the deal. If the way that we have eternal life is because it's a gift, then we're barking up the wrong tree when we start trying to figure out, am I living a certain way to show that I have eternal life? Am I living a certain way, in a sense, to deserve God's eternal life? Our salvation is not based on what we do. Our salvation is based on what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. You know, all of us are human beings. We're all going to fail. Even if you've been saved, there are going to be days where you blow it. There are going to be times where you do the wrong thing. There are going to be times where you just do not make the right decision, spiritually speaking. And easily, if you forget that salvation is a gift, you could have the devil coming to you and using those sins against you as ammunition to say, well, maybe you're not really saved. Because after all, would a saved person really say that? Would a saved person really think that? Well, I'm a saved person, but I still have a sin nature. And if you'll read through the New Testament, you will find out that saved people can do a lot of really bad things. Because over and again, not only is it demonstrated, but also the New Testament tells saved people to cut it out, to stop it. Don't live that way. Don't do those things. Don't be that way. Live with a testimony that supports the salvation that you have. But you are not saved, and you do not prove that you are saved because you are such a good person. Your salvation is a gift, and it is 100% wrapped up in what Jesus did, not in what you do. Now, suppose you don't care about living right. And suppose you just all the time go about just, I'm just going to do my own thing, even as a Christian. Can I just say, you're going to struggle with doubts about your salvation. It's only natural. Because the devil is going to have so much ammo to shoot back at you, you're going to be so confused, so mixed up, so up, so down. It's going to be a disaster if you don't learn to grow as a Christian and to do what's right after you're saved. But you're not saved because of the way you live. You're saved because Jesus Christ gave you a gift of eternal life. That's the only way anybody is saved. So salvation is a gift. Number two, salvation is based on the record of God's word. Verse 11 says, "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life." Did you know that there is one thing and one thing in the world only that never changes? And that's the Bible. See, what happens is a lot of young people and a lot of older people too will say, "Well, today I feel like I'm saved because I'm feeling good. I feel close to the Lord. I have good feelings in my life." But the next day they feel down. They fail. They realize they're not as good as they thought they were the day before. And they have all these up and down emotions, and they try to pin whether or not they are saved based on the emotions that they feel. You will never get lasting confidence of salvation if you rest on your emotions. The only thing you can rest on to give you lasting confidence is the Word of God, because it never changes. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. My salvation is based on what God says, not based on how I feel. And that is so important to remember. You need the record of God's word. Now, how many of you teenagers have actually already graduated from high school? Okay, a few of you have graduated from high school. I remember back to my high school graduation. I don't know what kind of, if you're in a big school, small school, homeschool, I don't know. But I was in a Christian high school, and as a senior, I was in the largest class that my school ever had. 8 people. And so in our graduating class, there were 8 of us graduated from high school. 4 guys, 4 girls. Now, after the graduation ceremony, we were scheduled to go over to what everybody would think was a gymnasium, but we were Baptists, so we actually called it a multi-purpose building. That was so that we could feel better about all the money it spent to build it, but it actually was just a gymnasium. And in the gymnasium, all the girls in our class and their moms had decorated it out like crazy. Guys were like, "Hey, put a basketball in the middle of the floor. The whole place is decorated. It's all good for us." But that's where our reception was. Okay. So we had the ceremony. I remember standing on this side of the platform, walking across when they called my name. I shook the hand of the administrator, who happened to be my uncle, and he handed me a diploma, which I think happened to be empty, so I could still behave until later when I got the real thing. And I walked to the other side, and then we had the thing where you move your tassel, and then you walk over to the reception. Now, before going to the reception, before we even got a chance to eat anything, which is what receptions are for, right? Eating stuff. We had to stand in this line where everybody in the crowd could come and shake our hands and greet us. You say, "Well, what's the problem with that?" Even with only 8 graduates, there were a ton of people there that I did not know. And so I had to smile a lot at people that I don't even know. And you say, "Well, why did you bother smiling at them if you didn't know them?" Well, first of all, it's polite. And secondly, after they get through the line, they're going to walk over to a table and leave a card for all the people they know. And inside the card, there's going to be something green. And that is going to be very helpful for going to college. And I have a lot of relatives, and my parents had a lot of friends. I might not know them, but they might be somebody related to me. And so I can't be rude to them. They might take their card home without giving it to me. And so this was important to make sure that I got the card. And so everybody that came by, "Thank you, congratulations, thank you, congratulations, thank you." And so they'd say congratulations, I'd say thank you. And it worked okay until Some girl in the front, I'm sorry, but it was always the girl's fault. Some girl in the front had an aunt who had not seen her since she was a baby. And she came to the graduation. I don't know if this is exactly the way it happened, but it was something like this. She came to the graduation and, oh, I haven't seen you. And oh, you were so, now you're what? Wow, this is amazing. You know, and they're going on and on and on. And that's all good and fine, but we're in a line. And so now we got a traffic jam. Nobody can get through the line. Everybody's waiting to move on. And I am stuck with either a perfect stranger or quite possibly a relative I do not remember right in front of me. I don't know what to say to them. They don't know what to say to me. And so here's what they always would say. Because you know, when you don't know what to say, you have to say something anyway. That's what Peter thought in the Bible, and so it works for a lot of people. And so we're just standing there, and finally the person who has nothing to say says, well, do you feel any different? And I'm sorry, but that's one of the dumbest questions I've ever been asked in my life. As if when I was up on the platform and I walked across the platform and I shook the hand of the administrator and I got my diploma, that when the diploma hit my hand and my foot hit the floor in a certain spot, all of a sudden, zzz, there's like this zap of electricity that goes through me and I go, whoa, I am now a graduate. This is amazing. You know, it's not the way it happens, does it? When I'm standing in that line, like, do you feel any different? Yes, I'm starving. That's the only way I feel any different. I'm hot. I'd like to take this silly robe off. I would like to get out of the tie that I am wearing underneath the silly robe. Help me out here. Keep the line moving. I need some punch. You know, that's all I'm thinking. But he says, you feel any different? Now again, I'm telling you all the things I'm thinking, but I can't say any of that because it might be a relative that I don't remember. And so I just chuckle and say, well, yeah, I guess maybe a little, but I'm sorry, I really didn't. Now here's the deal. Suppose I were actually forthright with you and you asked me the question, hey, do you feel any different? And I say, no, that's a stupid question. And then you look at me and you say, really? You don't feel any different. Maybe you're not really graduated. Nobody ever says something like that. Nobody ever thinks anything like that. If somebody did say that, I can tell you what I would have done. Would have grabbed that diploma, held it up and said, yes, I am, and here's my proof. Because I had a record. And when you get saved, God does not send you a diploma or a certificate in the mail, but you have the record of God's word. And if you have seen who you are in God's eyes, and you have seen that the only solution to your sin is Jesus Christ, and you have put your faith in him, then you have come to God on God's terms, and you have a record. And so the Bible says that salvation is based on the record of the Bible. And then finally, that salvation then is based on Jesus and your having put your faith in him. Do you see how simple verse number 12 is? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So if you have Jesus, you have eternal life. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have eternal life, and it is as simple as that. You say, well, that's all good and fine, but how do I know if I have Jesus? Well, what was point number one? Salvation is a gift. How do you get any gift? By receiving it. And that's exactly what the Bible says about the gift of salvation too. In John 1:12, the Bible says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So it says, if you receive Jesus, then you are given the authority to become a son of God and to have eternal life. You say, well, what does it mean to receive Jesus? I can't just grab him like I could grab a microphone stand or grab my Bible or grab the pulpit. I can't grab Jesus, so how do I have him? The Bible explains itself. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, sometimes people get a little bit confused and they say, in order to be saved, you've got to do this, 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 and this. And they'll say things like, you've got to receive him, and you've also got to depend on him, and you've also got to believe on him. And that's a little bit off. These are not different steps on the way to salvation. These are different ways to express the same decision. And it is a decision to receive Christ is the same as the decision to depend or believe on Jesus to do for you in salvation what you cannot do for yourself. I am a sinner. God is perfect. I deserve hell. God deserved heaven. But Jesus died in my place so that if I would receive what he did for me, I could have eternal life. He rose from the dead. He gives me that life if I will take it. And so, I believe on Jesus Christ, and he becomes my Savior. And I have Jesus. And because I have Jesus, I have eternal life. So again, I say to you this morning that the most important aspect is to get your eyes back on what makes a person saved in the first place. And so let's make it personal. We've heard a lot about salvation already. But have you personally had a time in your life that you trusted Jesus Christ to be your Savior? If your answer is, well, yes, I have, but, well, let's go with the yes, and then let's talk about the but separately. If you have put your faith in Christ, then based on the authority of God's word, then you're saved. Now, there might be something that's bothering you. I heard a preacher say this, or I can't remember the date I was saved, or I don't remember exactly what I said, or I seem to keep falling in this sin. All of those are great things we could talk about. But they will be much easier to talk about if you first settle the fact that if you've had faith in Christ, then you're saved. And that is settled. Settle it there first, and then you can deal with the other issues. But deal with them as a child of God. And by the way, just as a teaser, you don't have to know the date of when you were saved in order to be saved. You do not have to remember everything you said. You do not have to remember what the weather was like. You do not have to remember what you were wearing. But you do need to remember if you trusted Christ. And so I would also say this, that if you don't know if you have, if you can't remember if you have, I can't tell you that you did. Neither can your parents. Neither can your pastor. I don't know. I can't tell you. Say, well, what in the world am I supposed to do if I can't remember? Well, here's my suggestion. Because I went through the same thing. And this was one of those times where I had this big fear myself. Am I really saved? I don't know. I could identify with these people. And I was about the age of some of the younger, very younger ones in this room this morning. Until one day, all of a sudden, I realized something. I know everything I need to know in order to be saved. I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that. I know I deserve hell, and I believe that. That's why I'm worried. I know Jesus is God's Son. I know he was perfect. I know he died for my sins. I know he rose from the dead. I believe all of that. But I am struggling with assurance because I can't remember something. So I stopped and I talked to God about it. And I said, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know Jesus died for me. I know he rose from the dead and I believe all of that. I just can't remember if I put my faith in you to save me or not. And so if not, I am making that decision right now and trusting Jesus Christ to be my Savior. The deal is you can keep trying to remember, trying to remember, trying to remember, trying to remember until you drive yourself absolutely insane. Or you can say, I see what God says today, I believe it, and I am accepting it for me today. Now, You say, Brother Troy, is that the day you were saved? Honestly, I think I was probably saved when I was younger. But listen, if not, I know I got it settled that day. And I have not gone through that again. That was done. That was settled. I had other questions that did help me when I talked to a counselor and got some answers. It really helped to kind of alleviate some other things. But as far as knowing that I was saved, it was settled that day because I actually just took God at his word and believed him and talked to him about it and settled it once and for all. Now, is it settled for you? Your pastor can't tell you. Your parents can't tell you. Your cabin mate can't tell you. Now, probably many of you say, well, yes, I know this is when I trusted Christ. And I remember I was at a VBS, or I was at home, or I was at a Sunday school, or I was at camp, or I was in the car. I remember when I trusted Christ to save me. That's great. I'm not trying to stir up any kind of doubt in your heart. If you got it settled, I hope that it will be settled and stay settled in your heart forever. But if you don't, then please just notice that the devil would like to keep you stirred up and worried about it, but God wants you to get done worrying about it and just get your eyes back on what makes you saved in the first place. Put your faith in Christ. And if you don't know if you've done that, then just do that. Just talk to God about it and tell God what I told God and just get the matter settled once and for all. Jesus is the only one that can save you. Has he saved you? And if he has, then just enjoy the confidence of it because of what God said. And if not, or you're not certain, then get it taken care of, get it settled, and I would encourage you, get some help, get some encouragement. I'll tell you the end of my story, okay? I was, I think, about 10 or 11 when I got that assurance taken care of, but I spent the next 8 or 9 years worried about which time I was saved. And worried that since I didn't know for sure which time it was, maybe it wasn't legit. Until I sat down with a counselor and asked my questions and was pointed to this passage and was told, look, as long as you know you've put your faith in Christ, that is what really matters. So whatever your question is, just ask it. That's why we're here. That's why your leaders are here. That's why we take the trouble and took the time to have camp so we can help. So if we can, please let us. Would you? Let's just bow for prayer. Thanks so much. You listened great this morning. I appreciate it. I know it takes a little bit of work on your end, and I appreciate that very, very much. Would you just sit up real good and straight with your back against the seat, but just keep your eyes closed? I'm not here at all to embarrass anybody. I'm here to help you, and I'm here to help you get things settled. And so I think it would be smart if we took just a few seconds, just a few moments, to give you a chance that if you are not sure if you're on your way to heaven, but you understand all these things, you know you're a sinner, you believe Jesus died for you, you've just struggled, or maybe you know you've never accepted him and you know you need to, why don't you just talk to God about that right now? God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. And I am trusting you to be my Savior. Or I think maybe I did this when I was 5, but I don't remember. So if not, I am trusting you right now. If that's your need, if that's your heart, don't do it just to make me happy. That's not the point. If that's your need, if that's your heart, why don't you just talk to God right now? Now with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and again, I am not here to embarrass you in the least, but I wonder, just with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, is there anybody that would just lift your hand to let me know, Brother Troy, this morning I've gotten this matter taken care of. I've had questions, I've had doubts, but this morning I've talked to God and I've got that matter settled. Is there somebody like that this morning? Just hold it up long enough for me to see it and then put it right back down. Good. Anybody else? Let me just look around. Anybody else like that at all? All right. Would you look right this way? If there's something in your heart and mind and it's still kind of unsettled, talk to somebody. Get some help. Tonight in the service, we'll have an invitation for you to talk to counselors. That'd be a great time. But so would your cabin during rest period. So would over lunch. So would on a bench around activities today. If it's on your heart, we care. And so let us help you if we can. All right? If you have any other questions, please, please get the help that you need.